Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses, and just share a few thoughts with you. But I'm going to ask you to please stand in honor of the Word of God. And we'll actually pray before we read. Father, I want to thank you for your Word. Here we are, celebrating another Christmas, a new year approaching, the familiar story. Lord, may we never lose a sense of the wonder due to familiarity. Lord, forgive us for when our hearts get cold, our faith is weak, lukewarmness. Lord, by your Spirit, cause us to see brightly the light of your glory in the face of your Son. Father, let us never be indifferent to your word. Lord, let us not hear it again and again and again without responding. I pray that each one of our hearts would be good soil by your grace, bringing forth fruit. Be glorified, Lord. Minister your word to our hearts tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Notice the angels give them the message. They understand it's coming from God himself. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Please be seated. The verse I wanted to look at a little bit this evening is verse 14, where the angels are praising God and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men." Or better read, toward men of goodwill. That is God's goodwill. The idea is peace toward those who are beneficiaries of his goodwill. Peace toward people whose God's favor rests upon. Peace to those who've entered into a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's who the peace is for. As Christians, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. We are at peace with God as Christians. It's the end of hostility. That's what, when we think of peace, we tend to think of the end of hostility. We all want peace in our world. We want an end of hostility. This very minute, Israel's at war. There's war with Russia and Ukraine. One historian said human history is just one long account of war, and every now and then peace breaks out for a little while. But peace, the end of hostility, that's the case with God and us. We're not at war with him anymore. But the peace here in Luke chapter 2, this peace is virtually synonymous with salvation itself. You could use these words interchangeably. And in verse 11, the announcement is, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord." The salvation he brings is itself peace with God. This word peace, it's irene. It's a beautiful word. It's a comforting word to me just to say it. Irene. And it corresponds with the Hebrew shalom. It speaks of complete and holistic well-being. It includes all the benefits of salvation. It's a state apart from whatever is going on emotionally in your heart. It's a state of complete and holistic well-being with all the benefits of salvation when you're at peace with God. It's the end of hostilities, but it's not limited to it. Every Christian is at peace with God. They're justified. Their sins are forgiven. The punishment for them has taken place in the past. But then the scripture also tells us there's the peace of God for the people of God. You have to first be at peace with God in order to experience the peace of God. What's the peace of God? Paul told the Philippians, "Guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It's that calm serenity, that tranquility, the quiet rest and harmony. It's intrinsic to God's very being and essence, and it flows to us by virtue of being in right relationship to him. It's something he gives us. It's something that fluctuates. Sometimes it's stronger than other times. Sometimes our hearts are not at peace. But it doesn't change the fact that we have peace with God. But it's something that God himself gives. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." The world has a false peace. It's built on sand. It won't It won't last. But Christ gives a peace that will last. Now, reflecting upon our state of being at peace with God, upon the reality of these things, combined with the power of the peace of Christ in our hearts, enables us to be peacemakers. Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You're the sons of the one whose family characteristics you take on. The sons of God are peacemakers. The sons of the devil are people of turmoil, conflict, and so forth. Galatians 5, the peace in Galatians 5 that's called the fruit of the Spirit, it's a spirit of peace with people. Calvin points it out as it's contrasted with quarrels and contentions. The fruit of the Spirit that brings a spirit of peace is someone that's the opposite of a spirit that is always involved in quarreling and contentions with people. You're wanting peace. Paul said it this way in Romans 12:18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." We're to be peacemakers as the Prince of Peace was. As much as possible, it says, as much as depends on you. It's not always possible. If it requires us to compromise our faith or to be cowards, then that's not possible for the Christian. That's not the kind of peace we want. It's not peace at all costs. As much as is possible to honor God, to love your neighbor. And some people just flat out won't be at peace with you. But the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts, the peace of Christ in our hearts produces an attitude or disposition of peace and peaceableness. And again, doing as much as you can to be at peace with all people. So these three things. As a Christian, you're at peace with God. The warfare is over. And sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. Satan's going to be constantly assaulting your peace. He's going to be assaulting your joy. Anything that's fruit of the Spirit, he's going to be assaulting. He knows he can't take you out of the Savior's arms, but he would love to make you sidelined and ineffective and in a miserable, unhappy Christian. It's a very poor witness, a very poor testimony. But we're at peace with God, and because of that, we can have the peace of God. Regardless of what's going on in the world around us, whatever's going on in our lives, we can have the peace of God. And both those things combine make us peacemakers. We want to have peace among other people as well. But I mentioned that the peace of God can ebb and flow. And there's times where your heart's in turmoil. Maybe there's something you're experiencing right now, and your heart is in turmoil. You feel inner turmoil. You don't feel much peace. Come to God. Bring it to Him. And keep bringing it to Him. Trust in Him. Ask for His peace. Take the time to get alone with God. Take the time to do that, just to get alone with God. Thank Him for His goodness to you. Thank Him for the blessings of salvation He's given you. Bring these things before Him and leave them there. Leave them there. His shoulders are big enough. Yours aren't. Trust Him. You say, "Well, I've been praying a long time about the same thing and nothing has changed." Those things may not change. That thing may never change. You may go to the grave going through it. But He will change you. You'll grow as a Christian through it. But bring it to Him. Ask Him for His peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The only other thing I would just share is Scripture says there's no peace for the wicked. There's no eternal peace, certainly. If you haven't come to faith in the Savior, if you haven't placed your faith in Christ, you're outside of the realm of peace. The warfare is not ended. You are still at enmity with God, the Bible says. Things are not right between you. There's conflict. There's war between you. It can only be made right in Christ. It's absurd, and it's an extreme insult to God to think he would send his son to be a little baby, as we just sang, born to this poor girl, laid in a manger, to live a life of poverty, to be mistreated by people, but not to return the favor, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins, because the cross is already, the shadow of the cross is already over the manger. We've talked about the ancient bios of the ancient world, and how scripture bios, the genre of ancient biography, are unique, because only the Gospels have a hero that his whole purpose in coming is to die. God wouldn't send his son to the cross if it's no big deal whether you believe in him or not. It's the only way to be saved. And we're good at killing time. We're good at procrastinating. We're good at silencing the voice of conscience with various things. But the years tick on. And we hear, and we reject, we don't respond, and our hearts grow harder against it. No one's ever the same after having heard the word of God. You're either better off or worse off. But one thing is certain. We have to stand before him very, very soon. Life flies by. We know it does. We're getting older. We'll stand before him very, very soon. What you've done with the Savior will mean everything then. Everything. He died. He was raised from the dead. Because that perfect offering of his life in our place was accepted by the Father. Please don't put him off. If you've put him off, don't put him off anymore. Come to him. Trust in him. Be at peace with God. Know the peace of God. And then you'll become a peacemaker, sharing the same message of Christ with other people that they might have peace with God. Well, Father, I just want to pray for each one of us tonight. We read, glory to you in the highest, and on earth peace to people who place their faith in your Son. That's what it means. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room would be at peace with you through faith in Christ. We'd be at peace with you. We'd have your peace. I pray for every heart that's here that's suffering turmoil, has been failed by people, going through all kinds of trials that nobody would understand. They don't, at least they don't think they would. Lord, thank you for your love for each one of us. Give each of those hearts your peace that passes understanding. And help us, Lord, to be peacemakers and to be those who would point people to the Prince of Peace, to faith in him. We love you, Lord. May we keep these things in mind. May we remember the great reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Our worship team is going to lead us in singing Silent Night. So if you will, we'll light our candles and
let's stand together.